من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد last time we got to the beginning of the we finished the introduction and we started the discussion of the bayan or to remind you or to summarize for those who were not here that Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was saying after the introduction in which he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said the salah upon his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and took the chance when he said that to describe the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in brief and its importance and its benefit to the humanity. After that he mentioned that everything that Allah revealed in his book is an evidence and it is an evidence that whoever knows it and whoever ignores it, ignores it, which means not everybody realizes it or rahmatun wa hujja, a mercy and an evidence. And then he mentioned how is the knowledge of the Book of Allah sought, what are the things required for a person to seek the knowledge in Allah's Book, and he mentioned four requirements for that. What are these four requirements for those who are here? But he didn't mention this first, but he mentioned the class as one of the things required.
Ask the Prophet Allah to make knowledge, that's where knowledge is.
So,
make dua to Allah.
Also, yeah, he mentioned that also.
Act upon the knowledge.
Yeah, you start from the end as soon as I go back to the front. Okay. So, he said first that one should exert the maximum effort بلوغ غاية جهدهم في الاستكثار من علمه والصبر على كل عارض دون طلب. The second is to be patient in the face of any barrier or anything that comes in the face, in the way when they are seeking the knowledge of the Book of Allah. وَذَنْ وَإِخْلَاصُ نِيَّةِ لِلَّهِ فِي اسْتِدْرَاكِ عِلْمِهِ. To have ikhlas in that this being for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nassan wa istinbata, both in text and in derivation. And then ar-raghbatu Allah fil aun, to implore Allah azza wa jal to help in seeking this knowledge. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ خَيْرٌ إِلَّا بِعَوْنِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ عِلْمَ أَحْكَامِ اللَّهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ نَصًّا وَاسْتِدْلَالًا وَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ لِلْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِمَا عَلِمَ مِنْهِ. And then once he satisfied these four things, and then Allah Azza wa Jal facilitates for him to say and act according to this knowledge. So in addition to the requirements for the knowledge, also to act upon it with words and with actions. Then فَازَ بِالْفَضِيلَةِ فِي دِينِهِ وَدُنْيَاهِ وَامْتَفَتْ عَنْهُ الرِّيَبُ وَنَوَّرَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ الْحِكْمَةِ واستوجب في الدين موضع الإمامة. He'll get all these benefits, which is the virtue in his deen and dunya, that the doubts will be removed off him, and the wisdom will lighten his heart, and he would deserve the status or the position of imamah in the religion. And then he makes a dua that Allah gives us a knowledge of his book and is in the sunnah of his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in terms of actions, sayings and actions. That's Allah. And then after, you know, he, some details he says, أَيَرْزُقَنَا فَهْمًا فِي كِتَابِهِ ثُمَّ سُنَّةِ نَبِيِّهِ قَوْلًا وَقَوْلًا وَعَمَلًا يُؤَدِّي بِهِ عَنَّا حَقَّهُ وَيُجِبُ لَنَا نَفِيَةَ نَزِيلِهِ. And then he mentioned that nothing happens to the people except there is in the book of Allah the guide for what to do in this regard, how to come out of that hardship or problem. And he mentioned a number of ayat to prove this, among which the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدَى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ. We have indeed, we have revealed to you or sent down to you the book as you have. Let's see your copy. You want a copy too? I don't know, because there are only, well, maybe there is a copy, we'll see. Did you reserve a copy before?
No, but I will come and help you.
Okay, clear and show. طيب, he says, in the ayah, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ, we have revealed to you the dhikr, لِتُبَيِّنَ النَّاسِ وَنُزِّلَ لَهُمْ, so that you would clarify or show to the people what has been revealed to them, وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. After this saying, since he indicated that the book has a qualification for everything, or a bayan for everything, now the question comes, how does this bayan take place, or this qualification take place? And this is after, now this is the end of the introduction, and that's where he starts with the heart of the book by saying how is, or showing how is the bayan. And he showed or he indicated so far that bayan in the book of Allah is of four or five different types. The first type is that which Allah Azza wa Jal explained for his people in detail in his book, which is in the book of Allah in detail. فَمِنْهُمْ مَا أَبَانَ لِخَلْقِهِ نَصًّا. This is number 56, Jihad. فَمِنْهُمْ مَا أَبَانَ لِخَلْقِهِ نَصًّا مِثْلُ جُمَلِ فَرَائِدِهِ فِي أَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَاةً وَزَكَاةً وَحَجًّا وَصَوْمًا. So this is what he has qualified for his creation by the text, by the exact text, like his, the obligations, the obligation for the prayer, for Hajj, for fasting and so on. But it came, the text of the obligation came in the Quran, even though the detail may not be in the Quran, but the text came in the Quran. Also the wudu in its detail came in the Quran as one. And then the next, the second type is that which Allah Azza wa Jal ordained in his book, and then he clarified upon the tongue of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam its details or its explanation, such as the number of rak'at of the prayer. The prayer was ordained in the Quran, but not the way to perform it. The way to perform it came in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. عدد الصلاة والزكاة ووقتها وغير ذلك من فرائض التي أنزل من كتابه. The third type is that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam legislated. So it does not come in the Quran, but it comes in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in other words, Imam Shafi'i is saying that the Sunnah is an extension of the Quran. It's part of the clarification of the Quran, because Allah says, we have sent down to you the Quran so that you would show the people and teach the people what has been revealed to them. So the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ can independently to teach things that are not in the Quran, and this would still be considered as being part of the bayan of the Quran. وَقَدْ فَرَضَ الْإِمَامِ الشَّافِعِ says, وَقَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ طَاعَةَ رَسُولِهِ, and Allah has ordained in His book obedience to His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, والانتهاء إلى حكمه, and that one should submit to His commands. فَمَنْ قَبِلَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَبِفَرْضِ اللَّهِ قَبِلْ, so whoever accepts from Rasulullah, then indeed he has accepted the obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this reminds of the athar from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when a woman came to him and she said, are you the one who claims that Allah prohibited for women to pluck the hair of their face, la'anallahu an-nisaat? He said, yes, I am, because he reports this hadith. She said, well, I have read the book of Allah from cover to cover, and I would not find this in the book of Allah. He said, if you read the book from cover to cover, you would have found it. She said, how come? He said, because Allah says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ, whatever the messenger gives you or commands you, take it, and whatever he prohibits for you, then refrain from. So, and I heard with my ears Allah's Messenger say, and he reported the hadith to her. So this is similar to what we are reading here. And then the fourth type is that which Allah has obliged upon His creation to strive in seeking its knowledge. مَا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ لِاجْتِهَادَ فِي طَلَبِهِ وَابْتَلَى طَعَتَهُمْ فِي الْاجْتِهَادِ, and also tried how obedient they are in their striving. كَمَا ابْتَلَى طَعَتَهُمْ فِي غَيْهِ مِمَّا فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ, just like He tried them in other obligations that He made on them. So Allah made prayer, for example, obligatory on us, and He tries us by saying how obedient we are to Him in performing the prayer. And the same for fasting, the same for hajj, the same for avoiding sins like zina and khamr and so on. So all of these we are tried, our obedience is tried in regard to these obligations and prohibitions. Similarly for ijtihad. Ijtihad is also an obligation, and Allah tries us to see how well we perform this obligation, the obligation of ijtihad. Ijtihad is, we'll explain what ijtihad is. Ijtihad means if there is something that has no text, there is no text in the Quran or in the Sunnah, and it is required for the people, therefore, based on their knowledge from the Quran and Sunnah, to make ijtihad to reach the hukum or the ruling in regard to that matter. So, we get to this point almost, or a little further, where Shafi'i gives an example, rahimallah. He says, فَوَجَّاهُمْ بِالْقِبْلَةِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, so Allah turned them or commanded them to turn to the Qibla, or turn their faces to Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the sacred mosque, which means Al-Kaaba. وَقَالِ النَّبِيَّ, and he said to his messenger, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلِنُوَلِّيَكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجِهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ, which means we see, no, that's different, that's after. So he says, we see you're turning your face around or about in the heavens, or your looks in the heavens, which means seeking a better place for prayer, to face in the prayer. So we will grant you a Qibla that you will be pleased with. Qibla means the place that you face. Qibla, that's what it means. The place that you turn your face to is called Qibla. And it is used like istaqbala, from istaqbala, to welcome or to face somebody. You know, when you welcome somebody, you welcome him by facing him. So Qibla comes from the same root. But we use it to mean the direction of the prayer. But here, Ibn Shafi is using it with the original Arabic meaning of the word. فَوَجَّاهُمْ بِالْقِبْلَى. He turned them, he guided them to turn their faces إلى المسجد الحرام, to the Masjid al-Haram. And he commanded his Prophet, we see you turning your face around in the, or about in the sky, or your eyes. So we will grant you a Qibla that you will be pleased with, a place to turn your face to that will please you. وَلِّي وَجَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. So you turn your face in the direction of Al-Masjid Al-Haram, Al-Kaaba. وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلِّي وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَ. And wherever you are, turn your faces in this direction. And he says also, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّي وَجَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلِّي وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةٌ. And from wherever you leave or you exit, turn your face in the direction of Al-Masjid Al-Haram. So wherever you go, turn your face to Al-Masjid Al-Haram in the prayer, to the Kaaba. And wherever you are, وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَةٌ. Turn your faces in this direction, لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةٌ, so that the people will have no evidence against you. فَجَلَّهُمْ جَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ. So he guided them, may his glory be, or praise be glorified. إِذَا غَابُوا عَنْ عَيْنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. That when they are away from the very position or location of Masjid al-Haram, al-Kaaba, عَلَى صَوَابِ الْإِجْتِهَادِ. That is correct for them to perform ijtihad. مِمَّا فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْهُ. In that, because of what he commanded them or obliged them to do in this regard. بِالْعُقُلِ الَّتِي رَكَّبَ فِيهِمْ. By means of the intellects that he has installed or instilled in them. الْمُمَيِّزَةِ بَيْنَ الْأَشْيَاءِ وَضُدِّهَا. That can differentiate between one thing and the opposite to it. وَالْعَلَامَاتِ. And also by means of الْعَلَامَاتِ الَّتِي نَصَبَ لَهُمْ. The signs that he erected or established for them. دُونَ عَيْنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. الَّتِي نَصَبَ لَهُمْ دُونَ عَيْنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. That he established for them away from the location, the exact location of Masjid al-Haram. الَّذِي أَمَرَهُمْ بِالتَّوَجُّهِ شَطْرَهُ. That he commanded them to face, to turn their faces in this direction. What it means is that he's saying that Allah Azza wa Jal commands in these ayat the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his followers that wherever they are, they should turn their face to Masjid al-Haram. He says, if you are there, turn your faces towards it. And wherever you are, if you are not right next to it, you still have to turn in its direction. But how can they turn in this direction if they cannot see it? There is no text which tells them, like we are here in the United States, somebody is in Japan, somebody else is in some other part of the world, and he is required to pay and to turn his face in the direction of Masjid al-Haram. There is no text which tells him, if you are in Japan, you turn your face to Masjid al-Haram by facing so many degrees east or north of east or south of east or whatever. There's no text. So what can they do? They have to make ijtihad. So Allah Azza wa Jal, Imam Shafi is saying, Allah is telling us you have to make ijtihad in this case. Because how else can we know the direction of the Qibla? And how can we make ijtihad? By using our brains and by means of the signs that Allah established for us. The signs which are like mountains and rivers and other signs on earth that tell us when we travel which directions we are taking and so on. And also by means of the stars that Allah created that He tells us to use to find our locations. So all of these are means that we use for ijtihad. So this is this means that we must make ijtihad. فقال, so Allah says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ النُّجُومَ لِتَهْتَدُوا بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And it's He who has made for you or created for you the stars so that you would be guided by means of them in the darknesses of the land and sea, in the different forms of darkness on land and on sea. So whether you are on land or in the sea and on the boat, you still can use the stars to find your direction. And He says, وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. And there are signs, which means for finding the directions, وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. And they can find, they are guided, which means the people are guided by the star. By the star means the stars. فَكَانَتِ الْعَلَامَاتِ. So those signs that are used to find one's direction, جِبَالًا وَلَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا, mountains and night and day, فِيهَا أَرْوَاحٌ مَعْرُوفَةُ الْأَسْمَاءِ, in which there are winds. And arwah is the plural of riyah. As Al-Jawhari says, Al-Jawhari is the author of As-Sihah, which is an important book of language, of the Arabic language, that like a dictionary of the Arabic language. He says, الريح واحدة الرياح والأرياح وقد تجمع على أرواح. So the singular for winds is wind, riyah. And the plural is riyah, or aryah, or sometimes arwah. And arwah is also used as a plural of ruh, which is spirit. And then he tells why, because aslu hawa, etc. So we do not need to go in depth into that. But it is permissible. It is one of the forms, correct forms of plural forms for riyah, arwah. So he says, فيها أرواح معروفة الأسماء, in which there are winds of known names, which means winds blow, there are winds that blow that have known names. And for the Arabs, they used to know the names, the winds by their names, and use them to find their directions. So the northern wind, for example, they call it, I think, As-Saba, and there's a southern wind, and so on, and each wind will tell them which direction, based on certain, you know, the coolness or certain other things, it will tell them which direction it's blowing from, so they will know what are their directions also from the winds. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ فِيهَا أَرْوَاحٌ مَعْرُوفَةُ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مُخْتَلِفَةَ الْمَهَابِ, that have well-known names, those winds, even though they are blow from different directions. وَشَمْسٌ وَقَمَرٌ وَنُجُومٌ, and also there is the sun, there is a moon, and there are stars. So the sun tells us also the directions. It rises from the east and sets in the west, at least so far. And the moon also, same thing, it rises from the east and sets in the west. And there are stars, ma'rufatul matali' wal magharib, that have well-known rising places and setting places, wal mawadi' معروفة المطالع والمغارب والمواضع من الفلك. Or their locations are known in regard to the فلك. What is فلك? Sky, the astronomy, the astronomical sky or something like that. You know that some stars, like the northern star, we know that it will always be in the north, even though the stars around it will rotate in the night, so that in one part of the night they are in one place and they are in a different place, but the star itself will stay in the north and point to the northern direction. ففرض عليهم الاجتهاد بالتوجه شطر المسجد الحرام. So he ordained to them, which means Allah Azza wa Jal ordained, made it an obligation on them, on the people, الاجتهاد, to make اجتهاد بالتوجه شطر المسجد الحرام, in finding the location of المسجد الحرام so that they can pray in its direction. So this is an اجتهاد that is required from everyone, even though, you know, in many cases we take the word of somebody else that this is the direction of prayer and we follow them if we trust them. But, you know, people of, even if they don't have too much knowledge or a great amount of knowledge of the deen, they still can make ijtihad in regard to this matter to determine what is the direction of Qibla that they need to face in their prayer. So Allah made an obligation on them, on the people, to face, to turn towards Al-Masjid Al-Haram, مِمَّا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِمَّا وَصَفْتْ, by means of what he showed them or guided them to, as I described. فَكَانُوا مَا كَانُوا مُجْتَهِدِينَ غَيْرَ مُزَيِّنِينَ أَمْرَهُ جَلَّ ثَنَاءُ. So فَكَانُوا مَا كَانُوا, يعني فَكَانُوا الناس, يعني مَا كَانُوا, يعني طالما بقوا أو عاشوا في هذه الحياة, يعني طول الأزمان والأجيال, which means through the time the people have continued to, that's what it means, مجتهدين, make اجتهاد, they always, the people always have made اجتهاد to find the direction of Qibla. Why? Because the people always travel and move from one place to the other, and you know, one day you are here in your home, you know the direction of the Qibla. The other day you are on the road and you stop in a place and you want to pray and you do not know the direction. So you have to make ijtihad to find what is the direction of Al Qibla so that you can pray in that direction. So the people have always been doing ijtihad, he's saying, in this regard. غَيْرَ مُزَيِّنِينَ أَمْرَهُ, and they did not deviate from his command, subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla thana'u, which means they always fulfill this command of making ijtihad to find the direction of Qibla. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ إِذَا غَابَ عَنْهُمْ عَيْنُ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَيُّ صَلُّوا حَيْثُ شَاءُ. And Allah did not give them permission, He did not give us permission, if we cannot see Al-Ka'bah, He did not give us a permission to pray any way we like. No, we still are required to face the direction of Al-Qibla. وكذلك أخبرهم عن قضائه فقال أيحسب الإنسان أن يترك سدى, والسدى الذي لا يؤمر ولا ينهى. And similarly he told them, which means the people, about his judgment by telling أيحسب الإنسان أن يترك سدى, does the human being assume that he will be left alone without any purpose or of his living, or without any result, outcome out of what he does here. والسدى الذي لا يؤمر ولا ينهى, سدى means the person that is not commanded or prohibited. So it's not like that a haphazard or chaotic situation. No, every human being has obligations and he is required to fulfill his obligation. وهذا يدل على أنه ليس لأحد دون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يقول إلا بالاستدلال. This indicates that no one other than رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is permitted to say anything except by استدلال, which means except هذا يدل على أنه ليس لأحد دون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يقول إلا بالاستدلال. This indicates that no one other than رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم is permitted to say anything except by استدلال, which means except by using the evidence for what he says. بما وصفت في هذا, as I described in this situation, which means nobody receives revelation after the Prophet ﷺ. So he needs an evidence from the book or the Sunnah, or by using, if there's no evidence from either, then he has to use the means that Allah provided for him, his intellect and the signs on earth and other things to make ijtihad if there's no text from the Quran and the Sunnah. بما وصفت في هذا, as I have described in this regard, he is referring to the Qibla, as I described in regard to the Qibla. وفي العدل وفي جزاء الصيد. Now here he is saying these very briefly. We will talk about them in much more detail a little bit later. He says وفي العدل, he is giving other examples of things in which we are, or the people are, required to make ijtihad. The other example he gave is al-adl. Al-adl means a trustworthy person or just person. So he's saying that Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran that, for example, يحكم به ذو عدل منكم. There are two people who are persons of justice, of trustworthiness among you, should make the judgment, the ruling in that regard. You have a question?
Like still, like, finding the Qibla cannot be considered ijtihad,
because it was also practiced by the Prophet when he was in Medina. Having to turn to the Qibla is part of the Sunnah. But finding the direction of the Qibla requires ijtihad, depending on your location. So, as I said, like you are driving on the highway and it's time for prayer, you stop and you want to pray. Which direction you pray? You try your best to find the direction. If you have a compass, you use a compass. If you do not, you look at the sun and you check the directions. Or use some other means. If it is cloudy or it is dark and there is no compass, there's nothing, then you check the direction which way you are traveling, north, south, etc. So you try to find an approximate direction for you. Yeah, but still, what he's saying is that this requires ijtihad.
So, example of ijtihad is here in the United States, how you face the football. Some people, they say at the beginning, like you face southeast or east or northeast. Complicated than people are really saying.
Yeah, but still, it is. It requires ijtihad. And the other example he's giving is the adl, trustworthy people who are supposed to make judgment, and he will explain about this in little more later. Those people, how do we determine that these people are adl or not adl, trustworthy or not trustworthy? There is no text in the Quran or in the Sunnah saying that Zayd is adil, or Amr is not adil. There's no such thing. So the people have to make ijtihad and say, okay, in our best judgment, this person is adil, so we take his, we assign him for this position, and the same for that other person, and so on. So this requires ijtihad. And similarly, وَفِي جَزَاءِ الصَّيْدِ, in regard to the ransom concerning hunting. And as I said, this he's mentioning them here very briefly, but he will detail them later. What he means, as we will see later, is that when a person is in ihram, he is not allowed to hunt. Now if he hunts, then as Allah tells in the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, he has to give as penalty, he has to, or ransom, he has to offer an animal which is equal to that animal that he killed. So let's say that a person hunts a deer. Then ijtihad is required, some kind of ijtihad, to determine what animal is comparable to that deer that he hunted, so that he can offer it as a ransom or sacrifice for that mistake that he did. So it needs to be, for example, a cow of close weight to that deer, or things like that. Similarly, if he hunts a bird, let's say, then maybe a chicken or a pigeon or something like that, and so on. So this requires ijtihad, he's saying. أن يكون ليس أهل دون رسول الله يقول إلا باستدلال بما وصفت في هذا وفي العدل وفي جزاء الصيد ولا يقول بما استحسن. This is a very important statement by Imam Shafi, that you find many statements here in his book that, as is said by some of the people of the past, that it deserves to be written by letters of gold, and took the ma' al-dhahab. He says, فَإِنَّ الْقَوْلَ, one should not say بِمَسْتَحْسَن, say things according to what he sees to be nice and good, without evidence for what he's saying. فَإِنَّ الْقَوْلَ بِمَسْتَحْسَنَ شَيْءٌ يَحْدِثُهُ لَا عَلَى مِثَالٍ سَبَقْ, because making a statement according to his likes, to what he likes and what he dislikes, is something that he initiates without a previous example, which means it is not based on something that was mentioned by Allah or His Prophet, or was done by the Salaf radiallahu anhum. فَأَمَرَهُمْ أَن يُشْهِدُوا ذَوَي عَدْلٍ وَالْعَدْلُ الَّذِي يَعْمَلُ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ فَكَانَ لَهُمُ السَّبِيلُ إِلَىٰ عِلْمِ الْعَدْلِ وَالَّذِي يُخَالِفُ. So he commanded them, Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded them, أَن يُشْهِدُوا ذَوَي عَدْلٍ, to take as witnesses trustworthy people. وَالْعَدْلُ أَن يَعْمَلَ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, and trustworthiness or justice means that a person would act upon according to the obedience of Allah, which means he is an obedient person to Allah. فَكَانَ لَهُمُ السَّبِيلُ إِلَىٰ عِلْمِ الْعَدْلِ, so it is their way, which means it is their obligation to know who is عَدْل وَالَّذِي يُخَالِفُ, and who is not. So it means it requires ijtihad based on the knowledge of the book and the sunnah. وَقَدْ وُلِعَ هَذَا فِي مَوْضِعِ, and this has been placed in its location, which means this will be discussed in more detail later, he means. وَقَدْ وَضَعْتُ جُمَلًا مِّنْهُ رَجَوْتُ أَن تَدُلَّ عَلَى مَا وَرَائِهَا مِمَّا فِي مِثْلِ مَعْنَاهَا, and I have given here summarized or brief examples that I hope will give an indication of what is beyond them, of what is similar to its meaning or to their meaning. So now that he tells us about the four different types of bayan in the Quran, in brief, which was the whole thing that was covered in this short chapter. And these chapters are, I don't think that Imam Shafi'i is the one who divided the book into chapters, but maybe Ahmad Shakir, I don't know if it's somebody before him, but probably Ahmad Shakir rahimahullah, who is the first one to work on this book and print it in this form, is the one who put the titles, the different titles or subtitles and so on. So here, after finishing with describing the bayan in general, then he talks in more detail about the first kind of bayan that we talked about it earlier in brief. And he will give some more examples. Yes?
The number 50, the ayah.
أَلَّذِي وَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ. No, we will try you until we see those of you who strive. Jihad means here not only fighting in the way of Allah, that's part of it, part of jihad. But it means mujahada in everything. It means striving in all different ways to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who are patient and steadfast in that, وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ, and we will try your affairs or your the information about you. Allahu A'lam. And he gives that as an example that ijtihad is part of the required things that will people be tried for and rewarded or judged according to their performance in them. What? It's very slow. Oh, I see. Because it's on voice save, whatever they call it, UX. So the bayan was the first bayan, and here he will give more examples of what he said earlier, or what he gave briefly before. He will give some more detail of the same examples and then give some more. He says, قال الله تبارك وتعالى في المتمتع. Allah تبارك وتعالى said in regard to the one who is متمتع, which means he goes for Hajj and then he performs tamattu, which means after he performs umrah, he ends his ihram until the time comes for him to go back into ihram on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, which means the day prior to Arafah, which is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. So the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, he goes back into ihram to complete the rites of Hajj. So between the time of his arrival to Mecca, when he performed the Umrah, and the time of the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, there could be a number of days. It could be, for many people, it could be like 2-3 days, because they arrive in the beginning of Dhul Hijjah and then they quickly perform Umrah, and they would still have a few days, maybe even up to a week before the beginning of Hajj. So during these days, one does not have to stay in ihram. He removes the ihram. He can change into normal clothing, approach his wife normally, wear perfume, and so on. So he ends ihram, in other words. And that's called tamattu. So the one who is mutamatta, Allah says in his regard, فَمَنْ تَمَتَّعْ بِالْعُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْحَجِّ فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ. So the one who makes tamattu by performing umrah until the time of Hajj, then فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي, whatever is suitable to give as an offering of hadi for that purpose. Because, you know, normally before that, it was an obligation on the people to stay in ihram all the time. And then this became like a removal of hardship for the Muslims. Allah Azza wa Jal ordained at the time of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, about 10 or 12 minutes. Okay, so he says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ. One gives a sacrifice in exchange for this rukhsa or permission or facilitation that Allah gave him, which means that he can remove the ihram for a few days. He has to give show gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jalla for this, and the gratitude is shown by offering a sacrifice. And that is one reason why the people in Hajj offer a sacrifice, a hadi. Okay, that's one reason. That's one of the reasons of the hadi, that a person, al-Hajj, al-Mutamatta, performs the hadi. Why do we have to offer a sacrifice in Hajj? It's because of this, because of the fact that we are mutamattiin. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي. Whatever is easy to offer of hadi. Al-hadi means the gift of the offering, the sacrifice. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ. And whoever cannot find any animal to sacrifice, فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ. Then he has to fast 3 days during the time of Hajj, and 7 days when you go back to your hometowns, that is. تِلْكَ عَشَرَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ. Those are 10 full days. Those are 10 full days that one has to fast. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَهْلُهُ حَاضِرِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. That is for the one whose family do not live in al-Masjid al-Haram, or are not present in al-Masjid al-Haram, which means that applies to the people who are not residents of Mecca. فكان بينا عند من خطب بهذه الآية أن صوم الثلاثة في الحج والسبع في المرجع عشرة أيام كاملة. It is clear, he says, Imam Shafi'i is saying, it is clear to those who have been addressed by this ayah that 3 days in Hajj and 7 days when you go back, that makes a total of 10. قال الله تعالى تلك عشرة كاملة. And still Allah Azza wa Jalla says that makes complete 10 days. فاحتمت أن تكون زيادة في التبيين. So that has the possibility of being an additional clarification. يعني they already know that 3 plus 7 equals 10. So to emphasize it more, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that makes 10. واحتملت أن يكون علمهم أن ثلاثة إذا جمعت إلى سبع كانت عشرة كاملة. And it is possible that he is teaching them that when you add 3 plus 7, that makes exactly 10, or complete 10, a number. One of these scholars, I don't know what comments he puts in that addition that you have as, but here he says, فَإِنْ قُلْتَ مَا فَمَا فَائِدَةُ الْفَضْلَكَ, which means if one asks, what is the benefit of this extra mention? In the slang language, when you say فَضْلَكَ, it means like somebody is trying to be too smart, you know, saying things. Huh? What is it? فَمَا فَائِدَةُ الْفَضْلَكَ. What's the reason for this additional mention of the number? قلت الواو قد تجيء الإباحة في نحو قولك جالس الحسن وابن سيرين. ألا ترى أنه لو جلسهما جميعا أو واحدا منهما كان ممتثلا. When you say to a person sit with الحسن or with ابن سيرين, which means go and study from one of these two, if you use the word wow in between جالس الحسن وابن سيرين, can't you see that if he sits, studies from both of them or from either one of them, he would be fulfilling this kind of command. Because when he was told, go study from Al-Hasan and Nasirin. Al-Hasan and Nasirin. If he studied from one of them, that would make it sufficient as a fulfillment of the command. Fufuzliket Nafiyan Itawahum al-Ibaha. I understand what he means here. Fufuzliket Nafiyan Itawahum al-Ibaha. Let's see the next one anyways. وايضا في الفائدة الفزلكة في كل حساب أن يعلم العدد جملة. The benefit of the additional mention of the complete number in any count of numbers is to know the sum, the number as a total. كما علم تفصيلا, just as it was known in parts. ليحاط به من جهتين, so that to be encompassed, the knowledge will be encompassed from both its sides. So you know that 3 plus 7, and you know that it's 10, so you will have more confidence that this is what is meant, 3 plus 7, so it's meant to be 10. فَيَتَأَكَّدُ الْعِلْمُ, and by this the knowledge will be confirmed. Anyway, that is the saying of one of the scholars of the Arabic language, Al-Allama Jarullah Fil Kashaf. So Imam Shafi'i says that this mention of that makes 10, that could be for additional clarification or to teach them that, teach the people that 3 plus 7 makes 10. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ, and also Allah says, وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى 30 لَيْلَةً وأتممناها بعشر فتم ميقات ربه 40 ليلة. Which means we have given Musa an appointment to meet with us for 30 days. And then we added to that 10 more, or 30 nights, and we added 10. So that فتم ميقات ربه, so the appointment or the meeting with his Lord was complete as 40 layla, 40 nights. Similarly, 30 plus 10 makes 40. It's clear. فكان بينا عندما خطب بهذه الآية أن 30 وعشرا 40 ليلة. So it is clear to those who are addressed by this ayah that 30 plus 10 is 40 nights. وقوله 40 ليلة, and he's saying 40 nights, يحتمل ما احتملت الآية قبلها. It has the possibilities of the previous ayah. من أن تكون إذا جمعت 30 إلى 10 كانت 40 وأن تكون زيادة في التبين. That it's either indicating that the sum of 30 plus 10 is 40, or it is for emphasis, for additional clarification. وقال تعالى كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعَدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. Now know that here he is bringing texts that show that the full detail of an explanation of those texts is in the Quran. There is no need for anything else to give it any further explanation or details. And he gave these as example, the number of the nights that that Musa spent with his Lord, the number of days that one needs to fast. Now he's talking about something else. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Fasting has been ordained for you as it was ordained for those who were before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you may have taqwa. أَيَّامَ مَا دُودَتْ, a counted number of days. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ, and he of you who is ill or traveling, فَعَدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ, then he would fast a number of other days. وقال, also Allah says in the following ayah, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزَلَ فِيهُ الْقُرْآنُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ, the month of Ramadan during which the Quran was revealed. as guidance for the people and clear signs of guidance and criterion. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ Whoever witnesses the month, he should fast it. وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعَدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ And whoever is sick or traveling, then a number of other days. فَافْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّوْمِ Thus here, in these ayat, Allah made the fasting obligatory for the people. ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ أَنَّهُ شَهْرٌ And then he clarified that it is a month. So this is an additional clarification that is present in the Book of Allah. وَالشَّهْرُ عِنْدَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ الْهِلَالَيْنِ And according to them, which means the Arabs, the month is the period between two moons, between two crescents. قَدْ يَكُونُ ثَلَاثِينَ وَتِسْعَوَ عَشْرِينَ It could be 30 or 29 days. فَكَانَتِ الدِّلَالَةُ فِي هَذَا So the evidence in this text, that is in this text, كَالدِّلَالَةُ فِي الْآيَتَيْنِ Like the evidence in the previous ayat before. وَكَانَ فِي الْآيَتَيْنِ قَبْلَهُ And في ابن جماعة عندك مكتوب في ابن جماعة
جماعة في ابن جماعة وهو خطأ مطبع
مكتوب عندك وهو خطأ مطبع أما هو يعني شكله خطأ مطبع يعني ايش فهو كان في الآيتين قبله
في ابن جماعة
طيب
صح؟
يس
هذا خطأ مطبع
طيب شو الصواب؟
في أن جماعة
شو؟
في أن جماعة
في أن بلد ابن
في أن
جماعة جماعة ولا جماعه في نقطتين فوق التاء مربوطة جماعه وشو من بعدها كمل الجملة
زيادة تبين جماع العدد
ايوه
زين
جماعه 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 وكان في الايتين قبله and in the two ayat before that we saw that اما جماعه that the summation of the two numbers زيادة was an additional text that تبين جماع العدد that tells what is the sum of the numbers of those two numbers. وأشبه الأمور بزيادة تبيين جملة العدد في السبع والثلاث وفي الثلاثين والعشر أن تكون زيادة في التبيين. And the most likely opinion in regard to the sum of the two numbers, like the three and the seven and the 30 and the 10, is that it is for additional explanation or clarification for emphasis. لأنهم لم يزالوا يعرفون هذين عددين because the people always knew those numbers وجماعه and the sum of them كما لم يزالوا يعرفون شهر رمضان just like they always knew the month of Ramadan so in other words the people know the month of Ramadan and there is no need to tell them that it is an exact month from a moon to a moon or anything like that because the people knew the month of Ramadan even before Islam that there is a month called the month of Ramadan so he's saying just like they know that and there was no need to tell them what is the exact number of the days for that month whether it's 29 or 30 because they know that similarly there was no need to tell them the sum of the of those two other numbers except for additional emphasis so the only reason is not to teach them the addition of the two numbers but it is to emphasize that more that 3 plus 10 and as emphasis it is 3 plus 7 it is 10 and that the meeting of Musa with his Lord was 30 nights and now Allah Jalla added to them 10 so that it became 40 so as emphasis on the 40 And you know, because initially Musa was supposed to go for 1 month, and Allah Azza wa Jal extended that by 10 more days. So it's as a, it appears like an emphasis that to emphasize the great number of days that Musa was with his Lord. So it appears more or stronger to say 40 than to say 30 and then 10. So to add them together and say, so that makes 40, that appears like a strong statement. In this case, Allahu A'lam. So anyways, somebody was raising his hand? Yes? Okay, anyways, I think we are finished. Okay, this flipped also, so change direction. So now it's on the other direction, which means the hour is finished. Just finished. So we'll stop here, inshallah. And this ends his discussion of the first bayah. And he will come back and discuss some more of these issues later. But not much, because now he will be getting into other issues, other matters, once he finishes the five directions, or the four types. Sorry, the four types of bayan. Yeah, we will get to that, inshallah. After that, he will start getting into some more.